Morning. Buenos dias. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord, Centro Church of Christ. A minister friend of mine once told me the name of Jesus, who is Jesus, is more important than who am I. Who is Jesus is more important than who am I. And this thought, although maybe obvious, really made me think for a bit, and because it goes directly against today's logic and how things are run today, especially social media. Social media is based upon who am I, and presenting and showing and what I'm about and ourselves. But more importantly, obviously, is who is Jesus? What does that mean? And based upon that question, who is Jesus, if you begin to answer that question properly, it will lead to more questions that will ultimately lead us into being the kind of person I believe that Christ wants us to be. Now, who am I is important. I'm not saying it is unimportant. It is definitely important, if only to figure out exactly what we are all about, especially our sinful nature. The only way to repent from sins is to acknowledge that we do have sins. The only way to put aside a sinful nature is to be able to recognize what the sinful nature is all about. And so, at some point in our walk, we have to be honest about ourselves and honest about our sins. We have to confess what they are, express and know what our weaknesses are, what we are prone to do. Repentance. True repentance requires a clear level of knowing the answer to who am I. But once we know this answer, once we understand the answer, once we recognize how sinful we are, once we know what we need to change in our lives, we then need to know who Christ is. Because once we know who Christ is, we recognize that Christ died for us. He died for us. And that's very important. And not only did he die for us, he died that we may have new life in him. A brand new identity in him. That who am I of the past will become something else through him. But that's not what social media or society says. Society would at some point say, who are you? And what you are, if it's socially acceptable, is totally okay. What you are, if it's socially acceptable, which changes every 5-10 years, is okay. But Christ will make it clear that what we are is not okay without him. Today, finding ourselves, discovering ourselves, is more lauded, is more valued than finding Jesus. Therefore, leading into an idolatry of self. A desire to uplift and to venerate what we are, and not what Christ is. Today, and probably at all times in history, what I am, is the greatest idol of all. Spending our time figuring me out, letting everyone know who me is, maybe talking about me all the time, making sure that me is taken care of when figuring out what God says, letting everybody know about Jesus, always talking about Jesus and making sure the things of God are taken care of are much more fruitful endeavors for our lives. If we find Jesus, then we find the true self that God wanted us to be. Then we find the true me in Jesus. Look at Matthew 10:39 for this interesting concept. We may think that finding ourselves is most important and then we're done. Mission complete. But Christ will clarify that finding him is how we truly find what we're all about or what we're meant to be. Matthew 10, verse 39. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. If we choose to put away the pursuit of me for the pursuit of Christ, we're going to find out who me truly is.
Oh,
how we are born, therefore, is not how we are meant to be. How Jesus wants us when we're born again is how we are meant to be. But what happens if we begin to define our life based on the question of who is Jesus? Well, if we begin to answer this question personally, it will lead to an entire life change. Today, I want to show perhaps one process as to how this might occur. But it all begins with who is Jesus. Well, let's try it. Let's try to begin a hypothetical process beginning with this question, who is Jesus? And the Bible gives us an answer as to who he is. Mark chapter 8, 27. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples and asked them, who do people say that I am? They told him, saying, well, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them not to tell no one about it. But Peter got it right. You are the Christ. This is who Jesus is. Christ, the Messiah. Messiah, the anointed one. Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one. Now, anointing means that you're chosen for a purpose. There's a calling that you're anointed for. If you're anointed to do something, you're led towards a direction. So why was Christ anointed? Why was Christ chosen? That's the next question. If he's the Messiah, then what was his purpose, therefore? Well, the Bible answers that as well. What is the purpose of Jesus? Luke 4, beginning in verse 18. Luke 4, beginning in verse 18. And Christ will clarify why he's anointed, what he's here to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not just poor physically, not just poor financially, as all of us who may be poor in spirit, all of us who have debt to sin, all of us who need redemption through Christ, all of us without Christ are poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, not just physically captive. All of us without Christ are bound into something. And recovery of sight to the blind, not just those who are physically blind. All of us without Christ are not seeing properly. To set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Understand, he said this in the middle of a synagogue, in the middle of a service as well, and gave the book back. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus Christ literally fulfilled a prophecy in the Bible in their presence. So Christ has come, in other words, to set the world free. But the world is one thing. Right now, let's think about, again, ourselves. Hence, Christ has come to set me free. This is what he's come to do. Christ has come to set me free. So the next question is, free from what? What are we free from? Well, the Bible says he has come to set us free from sin and from death. Yes, it is possible to be free from sin and death. It's what Christ came to do. We don't have to do bad things. We don't have to worry about what happens to us when this life is over. Because Christ came to take care of these issues. Free from sin and the consequences of sin. I wonder how many of us know that Christ came to do that. We can be free of many sins, but there's a list in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. We can be free of these things. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. This is how it used to be without Christ. He says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because Christ came to bring us out of those things. He has come to set us free. Through Christ, I can actually inherit the kingdom of God. He's the doorway. He's the bridge. I don't have to contemplate, experience, and look forward to a future without God if I have Christ in my life. I can break free of the bad destiny that the world has planned for me. So, if the most important question is, who is Jesus? And the most important answer to that question is, he is here to save me. Then the second most important question is, who am I? And the second most important answer to that question is, lost without Jesus. There are many questions in this world. Many important questions. Where am I going to go to college? Who am I going to marry? When am I going to retire? But they pale in comparison compared to the question of who is Jesus? And who am I without Jesus? And I pray this morning that we can answer positively to these questions. I pray that we can all say, Jesus is my Lord and he has saved me. All of us. I want everybody here to be able to say that. Jesus Christ is my Lord and he has saved me. Then once again, once we're able to say that, there are further questions. And the third question is, now that I'm saved, what about everybody else? What about everybody else around me? Well, this is the natural reaction of anybody who has truly accepted Christ in their life. Acts chapter 4. Look at this reaction. If people who have Christ and recognize what Christ means and who Christ means in their life, the natural next question or thought is going to be this. Acts 4, 8 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the chief cornerstone, and there is no salvation, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. We're going to tell people about Jesus. Acts 4, 13, let's continue on with this mindset here. Now, as the authorities observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And whether we are told directly or not, society is also telling us, don't talk about Jesus. Keep it to yourselves. But hopefully, here's our response to that. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right or wrong in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. And I pray for all of us when we recognize what Christ has done for us through all these years, we also cannot stop talking about Jesus Christ. We can't shut up about Jesus. We're going to want everybody else to be saved around us. Our worldview changes based on the original question, who is Jesus? When we meet somebody, or as we get to know somebody, our thought will become, is this person saved or not? We will begin to truly care for people like never before. We will care for our neighbors like never before, based on who is Jesus. We will care for strangers based on who is Jesus? Who is Jesus leads to who am I? And this leads to, what about everybody else? And this might lead to, then how do I fit in? Or what is my purpose? Or what is my job? What do I do about the situation? I'm saved. The world is not saved. What do I do about it? Well, our job and definition becomes we tell other people about the gospel. And sure, we have other jobs and definitions. Lawyers or programmers, mothers, husbands. But if we take Christ for real, we have a brand new purpose added on top with the highest priority. The purpose will be to do what Christ did. Luke 19:10, Christ said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man, he says, this is his purpose, this is his job, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ had other jobs too. He was a good son. He was a carpenter. He was a brother. He was a friend. But Christ understood my most important job is to seek and save the lost. And us, we also eventually will begin to recognize, yeah, that is the most important thing in the world. To also save other people. And if we take upon Christ's purpose, if we take upon Christ's main job, we will never be bored again. Never going to be bored again. If a Christian asks, what am I doing here? There will be a definite answer. We are here to glorify God. We are here to mimic Jesus. And that should be real to us. I dare say it is impossible to truly know who God is and not have this feeling inside of us. If our priority is to glorify God, then our lives will never truly have a dull moment ever again. There's always something to do for Christ. We get busy with Christ. We get busy with church, and we'll be too tired to do what is wrong either. One of the best ways to avoid sin is just to keep doing what is right. Then once I know what my purpose is, the final question is, what am I going to do about it? Because it's one thing to know what we ought to do. I'm pretty sure 99% of Christians know what they ought to do. It's another thing to actually do it and to spend our lives getting better and better and better at it. A very popular book recently, forget his name right now, said that to be good at anything in this world, one must spend minimum of 10,000 hours with that object, with that thing. To be truly called good at something, one must spend at least 10,000 hours with that thing, whatever it is. We as Christians have our life to get better and better and better at being Christian. 2 Timothy 2:15. We can all be experts, good at being a Christian. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves, approved by to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We can all do this. It takes time, but we can do it. Ephesians 6:19. We can all do this. Ephesians 6:19. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Even Paul said, help me to get better and better at this. Or 2 Peter 1:8. 2 Peter 1:8. For these qualities, he goes through a whole list of things that we should be good at and getting better at. He says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these verses suggest getting better and better and better at effectively glorifying God, at effectively saving souls, at effectively being like Christ. So based on the original question of who is Jesus, we should eventually begin to live our lives trying to be better and better Christians. And this is the most fulfilling way to live, never a dull moment with Christ. The question of who is Jesus has changed my entire life. I have decided that it is more important than who am I. But let's be honest, not everyone will answer who is Jesus the way the Bible says so. There are people who ask that question all the time and get different answers. There are different answers, incorrect answers, but there are different answers to the question of who is Jesus. And if I didn't follow the Bible, If I didn't follow what the Bible said about Jesus, I'd be a completely different Alexander. Completely different. Let's look at the other answers about Jesus and why they can't work for me or for you if we're to be Christians today. What if in the answer of who is Jesus, the answer is a really cool, nice guy. Smart, nice, cool, awesome person. Then the entire Bible makes no sense if that's all he is. I personally would be afraid of everything. I used to be a scaredy cat, afraid of everything. But it's only through Christ that I'm not anymore. I'd also be afraid of death without Christ. If he was only a nice guy, I still have all those fears. It is only through Christ that I have no fear. And I, Alexander, will live only for my own pleasure, leading to my own destruction. Or the opposite. What if Christ was a bad guy, a deceiver, a trickster? It was interesting. Jesus Christ as a bad guy is just as bad or just as useless as Christ being just a good guy. Both extremes don't work for us at all for Christ. If Jesus Christ is not the Christ, he could not have changed my life. When they tried calling Jesus Christ good, they said, oh, you're a good guy. Mark 10:18. I said, only God is good. When they tried calling him bad, Mark 3:25, you're from Beelzebul and you're from the devil. He says, a house divided against itself could not prosper. Christ would not adopt just being good, would not adopt bad. Jesus Christ accepted Christ, Lord. He rejected our little labels. He is our Savior and our Master, not good, not bad. He is Christ. He wasn't interested in man's labels of good and bad. He was interested in being the Christ. Anything less than the Christ, good or bad, would lead Alexander to be an unsaved, evil person. What if Christ is just another religious teacher? Equal to Muhammad, Buddha, Shiva. Recently, a lot of comparisons to Muhammad and Christ these days. A lot of comparison, obviously, to Muhammad and Jesus Christ. What if he's just Shiva or Buddha or Muhammad? Then he also would not be here as Alexander today. If I truly believe that Christ was just a teacher and not the savior of the entire world, I wouldn't be saved. Maybe I'd be a bit more popular, but it'd be ineffective. It'd be useless. Because Christ said in John 14:6, a verse that we should all memorize pretty easy, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. Nobody comes to the creator. Nobody comes to the source. Nobody comes to the progenitor. Nobody comes to true life except through Christ, he says, about himself. And we just read in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in nobody but Jesus. Christianity without these truths, by him being the Christ and being the only way, Christianity without these truths is like a sword with no sharp edge. Or bringing an empty water bottle on a long jog. Or trying to start a car with no engine. Why do Christians sometimes attempt to practice Christianity without showing fully who Christ is? It would be a useless and silly thing to do, a waste of time, but people do try it, unfortunately. So you see, even if you know me, if you think you know who I am today, you could not know me without knowing who Christ is. Because I'm defined by who Christ is. I cannot be the Alexander that you defined without Christ. I shudder to imagine life without Christ. I chose to accept Christ as Lord of my life. I chose to believe what he said 100%. I chose to believe in what the Bible says 100%. And I choose to continually promote Christ and demote myself at the same time. It's a process. It takes time. Understanding exactly who Christ is, understanding who we are, and the responses to these things. There may be a different pattern of responses. I'm not saying what I'm saying is exactly how everybody will go. But at some point, it's going to begin with, we got to identify who Christ is. And let that seed, let that kernel, let that power grow inside of us. And define us to become better and better people. Let us be transformed by the question of who is Jesus. And making sure it's always more important than who I am. And in this way, we'll find salvation. The Bible says if we believe in him, if we repent from the old way of life, if we're baptized in the name of Jesus, then we will be saved. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.